I have a wife that understands me. And for those of you that don't know, that's my wife right there in the Misfit shirt. That's Kelly. And, you know, everything that I put her through in all these years, I am blessed to be able to listen to her and not try to fix her. I'm blessed to be able to walk this journey out with my best friend. And blessed to see what God does to further our teamwork in the community of recovery and homelessness and brokenness. So I'm blessed. Have you ever really thought about what your intentions are? Last couple of days, dude, God, I've been pressing in. And what I've learned with God is don't get comfortable where you're at. If you're comfortable where you're at, for myself, I'm not pressing in to get more knowledge. I'm not getting into more of what his intent is for me. You know, I'll just say this because I'm not schooled, sixth grade education, but I'm street smart. You know, I got some wisdom about what can happen out there on those streets. And now I'm God smart because I've been able to read some of the comic book type knowledge to get that to where now I can read the NIV or now I can read the King James and get context, get the meat out of it. But the last few days, I've been challenged of where my intent is. And, you know, computers are amazing. I love the computer. Or Surrey. I was driving in to do a group meeting with my boys this morning in Huntington. I'm like, dude, you know, bring me up some scripture references on intent. And so if you do have your Bible or your app on your phone, Proverbs 24:8. And these have to do with the word intent. One who plans to do evil, men will call a schemer. So his intent is to do something and scheme somebody out of something. Joshua 24:15. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. You have to have an intent. I want to be intent about serving Jesus. Whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 says, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he proposed in him. Purposed in him. Sixth grade, it's a big word. I tell you, the internet's amazing. Got to read through these, dudes, so you know what they say before you say it. So let me say that one again. Ephesians 1:9. He made known to us the mystery of his will, the Father's, according to his kind intention, which he purposed. I said it again. Okay, I got notes up here if you want them. Proposed in him. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So you see how that word's got a lot of meat growing in it? Luke 14:28-33. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. So our intent at doing something, are we prepared to carry it out? I was talking to Mick about the mobile shower unit that we're planning for our homeless community. It has to be diagrammed. It has to be blueprinted. It has to have permission from the city. It has to have licenses. It has to have different things. Otherwise, we're going to have a a truck that sets out there that just says, potential. What's our intent? Genesis 6:5. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wow. So that tells me that God knows the intent of our heart. And from the being Genesis chapter 6, he knew that from the beginning of time all the way up till now. Acts 23:12-22 says, when it was day, the Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. They were more than 40 who formed this plot. They came to the chief priests and the elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a solemn oath to taste nothing until we have killed Paul. Dude, they intended to kill Paul. Are you intending to kill yourself with your intentions? Webster's dictionary says intention, a determination to act in a certain way. Resolve. It's import and significance. What one intends to do or bring about, what one intends to do or bring about. All right, baby, love you. Good luck. Hey, wait a minute, man. Let's pray for him. He's going for a job interview right now. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just pray over our brother William. We just pray right now, anything that he touches, anything he goes for, Lord, will glorify, edify, and magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Get out of here. I love Daniel. I pick on him a lot. Intention. Concept. Especially a concept considered as a product of attention directed to an object of knowledge. So my thing is, I'm not smart enough to understand what Webster's dictionary means if it says synopsis, synonyms, adjectives, nouns, verbs, all that stuff. But I know my intent is to glorify God. My intent is to let my wife have the best husband she can have. My intent is to be most brutally honest to my brother. My intent is to do ministry in different prisons with my sister. My intent is that my word is 100% true. Now, that's my intent. But do I always have the capability of living that out? Yes. But do I always live it out? So when we're in the possession, or we're in community corrections, or we're in Hope Court, or we're in drug court, or we're in, you name the court we might be in, or we're in a situation with our significant other, or we're in a business deal, you just put whatever you're in. If we look at it this way, with God's intent, we will be successful in everything that we pursue. We have to figure out, first of all, what pleases God, and then do it. That's Ephesians chapter 5, and that's in the message. Figure out what will please Christ, and then do it. I get up every morning, and I say, dude, where do you want me? How do you want these hands to serve you? Where do you want these feet to walk? I have my intentions of where I think I need to be. But what I have found is if it lines up with him, dude, he will give my path straight. He will give my heart blessings. He will give everything that we have in a way that will be life-altering. Life-altering. You know, we're living intentionally. But intentionality that occurs when we combine information and insight to compel our actions to live out five essential areas of our lives. Five essential areas of our lives. First and foremost should always be our faith in Christ. Always our relationship with Christ. If I confuse putting her over him, That might feel good for about 30 seconds, but it ain't going to have no longevity. So I have to put Christ, my faith, first. Then I got to put my family second. My wife, my children, my family. I have to do in that order. My health. I ain't no good to him. I'm definitely no good to her unless I'm healthy. Now, yeah, I'm fat. I ain't gonna matter. I'm cool with that. But you should have seen me on dope. I was anorexic. I used to wear a size 32. Now I wear a size, oh my gosh. But I'm healthy. I am healthy. I'm spiritually healthy. I'm physically healthy. My finances. I am not rich. But my lights are on. I have gas in my bike. Notice I said my bike and not my truck. We all know what trucks can do to you. But my finances. I don't have to go to the benevolent fund at the church any longer and say, hey, dude, I can't keep my Comcast on. Get rid of your Comcast. Uh-oh. Well, you don't understand what it's like to sit there with the clicker instead of getting my butt out the door and getting a job. I need Comcast. No, you don't. I got to pay my cell phone bill. No, you don't. Go use the payphone. There ain't one. Borrow one. They're paying for their phone. That's a payphone. And work. What's your intentions with work? Danny, praise God, bro. Praise God. The judge sees enough in your growth to say, go run your own business. Praise God, Brian, you got up this morning and said, dude, I'm a little anticipation this, but man, ooh. And a catch for Brian, don't fall over, dude. Don't, whatever you do, shoe stuck to the floor. My Dream Center guys, I'm blessed. They're my brothers. But I know where he works. Every person on that crew is a believer in Jesus Christ. Every person on that crew is a believer. Matt works with a business that every believer. These two work side by side with a brother that's a believer. But they work. You're getting there. I love CJ. I'm holding him back. He's my boy. I love that one. But the deal is, don't put yourself in no warehouse or no factory or no place that you know that instead of tying bread wraps here, you're doing dope deals like this behind your back to keep everybody rolling. You don't need to be belonging up in there. Don't get someplace that you know your intent isn't to get a paycheck. Your intent is to get back with your Me Too buddies. You know what a Me Too buddy is? Let's get high. Me Too. Let's go have a beer after work. Me Too. Me Too ain't going to put no money on your books when you locked up. Them Me Toos leave you. Yet what should be the basis for your intentions? Better ask, what does God look at and judge? That your intentions are right. And your intentions are from him. Have you ever just prayed and said, dude, do what you can do? I see a lot of yeses. Praise God. But see, if I have my intent and it doesn't line up because I haven't been praying and asking him for what he intends for me, it's my program. It ain't his word. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Woo! Woo! So, how many of you barbecue? A lot of us barbecue. You barbecue? We look at it. We open the grill and we look in there and that meat looks nummy. That meat looks good. But for most of us that have barbecued for a while, we don't know the temperature of the inside of that meat till we get that thermometer. we'll stick that thermometer in there, or we'll get a knife and we'll cut it open and see if it bleeds red or it's pink, or, you know, you get the point. For us addicts, or for those of us that have been into trouble of some time, we make people believe that everything's fine by our appearances. We look good. But what happens when a community correction takes a drug test from you and your internal temperature don't line up with what their drug test does? Well, I look good. I've been to 17 AA meetings today. You look great. Your family sees you and they're like, oh, you look so good. But you're still hurting inside. You're still deceiving because your intent is to allow people to think that you are doing good. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates. Get that part? It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We can fake everybody out we want. Dude, I'm good at it. I ain't gonna lie to you. But see, I don't use those skills no more. You can ask. I used to tell her everything. I came home from work one day. She met me at the door. When your wife meets you at the door, you know there's already something up and you should just tell her the truth. And she said something to the effect, are you still smoking weed? Are you smoking weed again? I said, no, ma'am. Don't lie to me. I'm not lying to you. You know how we raise our voice to get the, you know, get the in there. And then she holds up that package of weed and that little sneaky toke and says, now you're a liar. Well, after you feel that big, you don't show them you feel that big. But my intent was to lie. My wife tells me now, I really love you because you're brutally honest. So don't ask me what they look like in spandex. I'm brutally honest and I'll tell you. Now, I'll go there, dude. Some women ought to stay out of the spandex section. My deal is it took the intent out of trying to deceive. And my intent now was to be brutally honest with her. And she told me another PS to that. You tell me the truth in everything, and you're right. It only hurts for a few seconds. Then they rejoice with you. But how many times do we have to keep building ourselves out of that situation because our intent was to deceive? You walk in there and you talk to Mallory and say, man, I went to every single one of these meetings. Look at all these I went to. And Mallory looks at one of them and says, that ain't Marvin's signature. That ain't Donnie. That ain't Pam's signature. Why are you lying to me? Because your intent is still to be a convict sometimes. When instead, show up, eat a piece of pizza, listen to a knucklehead like myself, let us sign it, and you go give it to them and go, and they go, man, your intent is to change your life. Intent is everything. So the Bible has to be our thermometer, just like we check the steak. We look at Scripture as a guide and encouragement, and that's good. But see, the Word of God will also, like the thermometer, pierce you. It'll challenge you. It'll place your life's journey in alignment with God's intention for you. That's who we want. That's who we want to follow. More than just a good intention, God's intentions are the best. Procrastination, I had to look that word up, dude. I was like, what? I like that. I'm like, yeah. is progressive and it stifles your efforts to live an intentional life in Christ. I'm going to do it. My intent's to do it. I'm going to church Sunday. Sunday come along, you were up till 5 a.m. in the morning and you ain't going to church. You ain't doing it. You ain't putting your effort into it. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to be the best employee they got. That lasts till your meth ran out. At least that's how it did for me. But see, with Christ now in my life, I can pass a drug test. First of all, praise the Lord. And I don't even need to go down to a 20 past something something and get a little, you know, bottle of InstaClear or whatever they call it. Thank you, Jesus. Here are all my convicts. That failure, don't waste your money on that. I have my little girl, when she was just a baby, pee in a cup and tell her that we had to take it into a urinalysis, then put it in a balloon and take it in. I was rotten. My intent was to defraud them, but when really I was defrauding myself. I was never going to get off probation. I was never going to get a real job. But my intent started to change. Why do we procrastinate? Because see, we look at the complex of a project and it's too hard. We can't do that, man. I can't stay right with Christ. I don't want to do it. It's unpleasant. I just don't want to do it. Sometimes we get our priorities out of whack. We forget to keep God first, our family second, and our priorities get messed up. Here's a good one. Especially for ladies. Well, no. God says, shut up, don't blame them. Fear of failure. I ain't gonna do it. I'm already know I'm gonna fail. How about distractions? You know that little thing that we all got right here? My wife hates this thing. She hates it. Hates it. Put your phone down, please. I'm just trying to talk to you for a few minutes. Okay, one of the boys calling. I'm like, hang on, let me answer this. Distractions. I'm just going to look at a little bit of porn. Just going to look at a little bit of website. Just one website. I just want to see her in a Sports Illustrated bathing suit. Next thing we know, our phone is full. Oh man, I just love watching sports on TV. And here's mama, or here's the kid, or here's something you're supposed to do, just trying to get your attention off of that. That. I'm guilty. These sermons that I get, because I do the same thing, dudes. I have done the same things. I'm no different. But see, I've realized one thing. I am going to get distracted one day, and I'm going to lose where everybody was around me because I was focused on that, or getting a better career. Getting something better in life distracted me off of him. And he's the one that gave me that opportunity. Losing my distraction with him, I lost my distraction with her and our children. Next thing I knew, I was marrying my 25-year-old daughter off. Wasn't even a month or two later, it seemed like I was marrying my son off. I have a 14-year-old little girl right now at my house that says, hey, will you come here and sit by me? Do I go set by her, or is my intent to get back to her? What's your intent? The old saying, the path to hell is filled with good intentions. Woo! Woo! These good intentions have a definite pattern that may seem all too familiar to you. Good intentions recognize a need in your life that creates an interest where you want to know more, but then it leads to an emotional response, usually fear, that holds you back from doing anything else. I want to do it, but I'm not going to. Okay, now it's probably too late. Oh, man, and we just back away. We back away. Get in, stay in, and press in. Truths about good intentions. They are not decisions. They're just illusions of good intention or good decision. They're not decisions. They are just illusions of good decisions. They release you from guilt, making you feel better, but you never take it any farther. I got to ask this young man, how long you been clean? No, I'm sorry, bro. Our little sister back there.
This time around, it was weekend.
Praise God. Praise God. How many, and I'm speaking for myself. You know how many times I was afraid to get to where you're at right now? A million. Yeah, a million. But let me show you what 14 years does later. You're looking at it. How many years?
11.
Never. Who's got? I love Marvin. How many years? How many years you been without anything? Leading a godly life. Throw it out. 80? My point is this, babe. You're going to get through this, but your intention has to keep you through this with Christ. I'm not calling you out. I want you to know, babe, you can do it. But your intention has to keep in it. You have to be intentional at it. They're all about the future, but not connected to now. They're not accountable to anyone else except yourselves. They promise much, require little, but accomplish nothing. This is what good intentions are. They are a facilitator of procrastination. That's what good intentions are. I'm almost done. I'll only keep it till 10, I promise. So how do you go forward from having good intentions that do nothing to possessing God's intentions that do something that can be life-changing? Aha. Always got to be a wrap-up part. That's what I love about you. You guys know why I call him Messy Marvin?
No.
You ready?
Yeah.
You know how many times he's pulled me out of a mess? How many times he pulled you out of a mess, or you out of a mess, or anybody else that's been in Hope Court, Restoration Court, or any other thing, and they call Marvin, Marvin, help us. So thank you for being my Messy Marvin. I love you, dude. God-given passion. A good intention alone is fed by procrastination and accomplishes nothing. But God's intention, when birthed in your life, will not only move you forward, then we can accomplish the incredible within us and dramatically impact the lives of others. Woo! I want to be a godly husband for her. I want to be a leader with good intentions with my brothers. I want to be the best I can be with God. So what do I mean? Take the example of this dude named Nehemiah. So Nehemiah, dude, I won't read the whole thing, but I highlighted it. Because, dude, I'm like, woo! Nehemiah had some stuff going on here, dude. But one of the things that Nehemiah had was, if you don't know the Bible, which, dude, I'm like, man, that's pretty powerful. There was some walls around this building of Jerusalem, and they were destroyed, and people were in danger, okay? So Nehemiah, in verse, we'll go with about, they said to him, Nehemiah, things are not going well for those who return to the prominence of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, and this was Nehemiah, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of the unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. How many of you ever just cried out to God? Your buddies are hurting, or we're hurting, and we just cry out to him. But did you catch how he did it? Fasted and prayed. Dude, I will die, but if I fasted from that for my day, I'd probably get skinnier. So I can't order Taco Bell off of it. Just kidding. When I heard that, so he says, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. With those who love him and obey his commands. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people of Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my whole family have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you have gave us throughout your servant Moses. So, Nehemiah knew that there was a problem. His people are perishing. So he recognized a need. Then he created an interest in where he wanted to know more. So Nehemiah sought Jesus' wisdom, his intent for him. It's biblical. We got to go to the Word. It's biblical. He says, he created an interest where he wanted to know more. So Nehemiah sought for God's insight, which then led to an emotional response, not fear, but bold faith. Nehemiah went to the king and it secured. So in the story it says, please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you're unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. Verse 11, O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it on his heart to be kind to me. So he had to go to this king to get the material to go back and rebuild these walls. But see, his intent was, I need to be intentional with fasting and praying to Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, Lord, help me with this so I can move back and do something for you. Early the following spring in the month of So he goes up and he hangs out with the king one day. And the king says, just like someone will say to you, hey, dude, why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick. You must be deeply troubled. When I tell you, brothers, I look at you, I say, dude, what's up? You're looking troubled. That's how we have to be. Our intent isn't to hide it anymore and wait till people cut us open and we bleed out. The key was this. Nehemiah asked God, what is your intention about this situation? When he received the answer from the Lord, he immediately acted because he had a God-given passion about the need. Nehemiah looked sick. The guy asked him, he says, you must be deeply troubled. Then I was terrified, but I replied, long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. And the king asked, how can I help you? How can I help you? See, God, by listening to Nehemiah, God inspired the king, and by us standing there shivering, afraid to ask something, God gave us the intent to move in, and he gave us the purpose. The king asked, how can I help you? With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, With a prayer to the God in heaven, I replied, if it please the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judea to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. The king, with the queen, sitting beside him, asked, how long will you be gone? When will you return? And after I told him how long I'd be gone, the king agreed to my request. So it goes on. You can read Nehemiah chapter 1. It's a great story of faith. It's a great story of being intentional of what we need and who we ask to help us in that time. Amen? Amen. Woo! I'm just getting started, dude. I got 7 more pages. Just kidding. Often people with bad intentions have more motivation than those with good intentions. You ready? Did you hear that? Often people with bad intentions have better motivation than those with good intentions. Because, see, they have a passion to kill, steal, rob, pervert, or destroy. And they're intent on doing it. Nobody wants to see you succeed more than yourself, but there's some out there that don't want to see us succeed at all. And they're motivated. Their intent is to destroy us. Yet when you break through to discover God's intention for you, us, you'll do right things based on His leading and direction, not yours. Now think about it like this. What are God's intentions for you regarding your faith, your family, your health? Your finances, your work. How can you employ your thinking, emotions, and actions to live intentionally? By praying, by fasting, godly wisdom, godly support. You start by finding the next right thing for each area of your life. You can live by Ephesians 5:10, which says, figure out what will please Christ and then do it. Amen?
Amen.
So what's your intent? Be intentional at what your intent is. Put it into perspective, family. Because, dude, we can do this. You're here today for a purpose. I just feel kind of led. I'm probably going to get in a lot of trouble for this, but would you mind if we prayed for you specifically? Would you mind that? Is that okay? Ladies, get over around that young lady over there for me, please. Get over there, Jenny. Who else, which one of you men need prayer? All of you. Get over here right around Messy Marvin. Let's all get together.